never rests.
Woo! What's up, everybody? It's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Rowe. He's Jake Roos. We're from Dogs HQ. It's National Signing Day. And I don't really care if this video gets monetized or not. There's no telling what I might say in the first few minutes of this thing. It's been a day.
Oh, it's going to get dangerous on this one then, huh?
Yeah, it might get a little dangerous on this. All right. It's been a day, man. It has been a wild day. Not necessarily just in terms of movement for Georgia, but I want to pat our got people over at Dogs HQ on the back. Georgia's hadn't gotten any good news today. Most everybody's taking it in stride, though. We got a few people. You know, if you listen to the show and you're the members of the board that are like this, you Negatrons, you know, have fun doing what you're doing. You're probably going to get blacklisted soon. But it's just there hasn't been a lot of good stuff happened for Georgia today. But we've got some drama afoot, Jake Roos, and I think that's kind of stealing the show here on National Signing Day. You know a little bit about this. You know about these things.
I've been down these roads before, and certainly in the middle and south Georgia areas. We thought that this was going to kind of come and go undramatically, I think. You know, there was maybe a few lingering things out there for Georgia. There were some guys you were hoping to land, right? But nobody that we had projected that, yes, this is a for sure thing, and this is somebody that people need to be locked in on. And then comes 215 and Ousmane Chroma, all this buildup. You'd started hearing all this stuff. And now this had started a couple weeks ago, but it had been, you were hearing Auburn and Ole Miss, right? Then probably what, over the course of the last 72 hours-ish, it feels like, oh, here come the Seminoles. And then he steps up to the plate, makes no real fanfare about it, and it's Florida State in the end.
Can I say something like, as the last person, the person that's often bothered by somebody who says, that tries to read a recruit's body language during a thing?
Yeah.
Did not love that kid's body language. Dude,
yeah, sure.
That could just be kind of a very quiet personality. Did not look too fired up and was ready to get out from in front of that camera as quickly as he possibly could. Yeah, not really reading into it, just an observer.
No, I agree. It was about as anticlimactic as it could have been. Now, we had somebody on our board, which I really appreciated, goes full Zapruder film on this thing, and they were like, that's a blank piece of paper he signed. So I don't know if it was or wasn't. It was, somebody said, at 26 seconds, if you zoom in, that's a blank piece of paper. So that's signing day.
Dude, that's not National Signing Day. I don't know what is.
That's signing day in a nutshell, man. I said, we got film analysis of the signing over here, man. That's incredible. So look,
Saturday's back, baby. Saturday's back.
The fact of the matter remains this: Ousmane Chroma has not signed his paperwork. He is, and Florida State has said that. We've said that. When will he sign it? Who knows at this point? We don't have a good feel on that, and it doesn't feel like either side does. There's something going on here. Does that mean that the window is still open for Georgia? Yes, it absolutely feels that way. No question about it, in my opinion. And it looks like a battle here between the Seminoles and the Dogs, and who knows how or when or why this gets settled.
Can I correct you on one thing?
Yeah.
There is another four-legged animal entering this race, and it's a tiger from Auburn. They're. I do believe they are trying their best to get back in this thing as well.
How fitting. That's a very Auburn thing to do.
You know what would be even better? If a new team were to arise, let's get the North Carolina Tar Heels in here or something, you know, like.
Absolutely. This is
wild, man. It's been a while.
My God, that's Kane's music. I mean, like, all of a sudden here comes Auburn running into the fire. Look, the fact of the matter is, Georgia is still in this thing. Georgia's still alive. And that's the news that you wanted, right? I mean, ultimately, this was not, like you said, not a great day for Georgia in terms of addition. And I said before in the earlier show, if all you did was hold on to what you got and on Friday you added Justice Terry, this would be a tremendous class. Well, you didn't do that because you seemingly lost Usmani Chroma, but you haven't officially lost Usmani Chroma. So look, man, it's just classic signing day stuff, man. And I don't blame people for fighting at it here at the last minute. Florida State, look, we can call it what it is. I think there has been a lot of defection from that team. There's been a lot of reasons for them to need to restock that team. They need to get some positive momentum rolling their way. 2-10 will do that to you. So it makes sense that they're swinging here late. Mike Norvell knows he's probably, if next year goes the way this year went, he's probably, you know, drinking Mai Tais with a buyout somewhere. So I think that it's all you can ask to still be in this thing. I used it earlier, Jake. I said it, a chip in a chair, man. And that's what Georgia has when it comes to Usmani Chroma still. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know if we could end the NIL stuff, Brian, with a book that we wrote, but I guarantee we could entertain you. If I had some good editing to help kind of punch my stuff up. Rusty is actually, listen, as y'all can imagine, there's Usmani Chroma. It's the news, man. It's the story. And Rusty's on the case. He is, you know,
Rusty's not having fun right now. I can promise you that.
No, he's not.
Now, he lives for this stuff. I'm not saying he doesn't enjoy what he's doing, but I'm telling you, he's not kicked back with a cold beer right now.
There is something about the way these things weigh on you as a reporter, and you know, and it's your job. That is, I mean, listen, it's no different, if not less than, the stresses that everybody else faces in their job. So I'm not trying to say it's something, but listen, it is not fun. It is not fun kind of sitting there knowing, like, every time you get a text or every time you got something going on, that it's there. And we're all kind of in it, not necessarily as deep as he is, because he's the guy that's running point right now. Somebody's going to be doing watch later on and making sure that we're keeping up with the stuff going on. But this is, listen, this, it's been a while. It has been a while since we had a little bit of National Signing Day. John, we've had some flips and things like that, but man, nobody's grabbed the paperwork and taken off running with it in a while.
We haven't had a holdout in a minute. Yeah. Nobody commitment and then a holdout. It's fun. I'm glad it's back, to be honest with you. I missed it.
Yeah, me too, man. I miss the days. Like, you hear the stories like Aaron Scranton back in the day, in the early Mark Richt days. He got letters of intent from Georgia. He got a letter of intent from Arkansas. He had been committed to Arkansas. When he got the one from Georgia, he just wrote in big letters, "No," on the one that Arkansas gave him, and he sent it back to him. So, so that's the, and Aaron Scranton was kicked out of Georgia not too long after that. I think he had a katana in his dorm room. And
is that true?
Yeah, I believe so.
A katana?
Yeah. Georgia came calling after this kid. He was a stud. He played at Buford, like 6'6", 220 pounds, edge rusher, 6'5", maybe. And he just had a Georgia All-Star game performance for the ages and just dominated everybody all week. And this was before Elite Junior and all that stuff. And Georgia offered him late, and he just wrote "no" on his in big letters on his Arkansas thing and faxed it back to him. Oh, God. Oh, Houston nut, baby.
Around the Hedges wants to know any updates on Talon Taylor. Look,
yeah, he is. Wait a minute. There is some news on Talon Taylor. Flipped Ohio State.
No, God, don't do that. Stop, you absolute psychopath.
Just fine.
Talon Taylor, yeah. Look, I mean, I understand people are sitting here kind of wringing their hands. The difference between Talon Taylor's signing ceremony and Usmani Chroma's signing ceremony stark. Okay. Talon Taylor was sitting at a table with a Georgia flag draped over it with a picture of him in a Georgia uniform on it. So you'll have to excuse me if I'm a little bit less than skeptical.
I've been doing my thing in my Georgia outfit.
Yeah, you're finna do my thing in this Georgia outfit.
That's right. Listen, there was somebody who Mikey Dykes, there are people saying that Trevor Etienne is transfer. If you didn't hear it from Dogs HQ, it may not be true. I can just tell you that. If you hear it from us,
Dogs HQ has not reported it. So
Dogs HQ has not reported that. And matter of fact, I will say that Trevor Etienne, as of this moment, will not be transferring. Now, he may try to do so after the season, not right now. I think Trevor Etienne got an injury report coming out here pretty soon, here in about an hour. There's a game this Saturday. I don't know if we know about that. I'm hoping to see what he looks like on that injury report. Trevor Etienne's not going anywhere right now, though. That's for sure. And when you look at Chroma losing Usmani Chroma, I'm going to go ahead and just get to the point here as far as like, we need this. We need to just talk about this openly. The money's a deal here. You know, in Florida State, lost a big chunk of its roster and lost a big chunk of its recruiting class. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now that Florida State, whether it has more money on the whole than Georgia or not, is working with more money than Georgia is right now, because Florida State isn't keeping together a class of 27 other commitments and trying to sign another five-star defensive lineman with one five-star defensive lineman, the number one player in the country at three different positions. I mean, you see what I'm saying here? Like, there's Georgia has already kind of allocated big-time pieces of its resources to this class already. And listen, this guy that's been committed to them, that's why they didn't go after Shane Marshall. That's why they didn't take another running back. They had a guy committed. You don't do it. That's not the way you do it. Like, you may talk, be in contact with these guys, but at the end of the day, you cast your lot with your running back that takes you in a national signing day, and you get upended. That's fine, but you can't have endless backup plans in this day and age. And so that's where we're at on this. And it's not – I want to put two things here. One, you don't want to be in competition with desperate programs, and 2-10 will put you in desperation mode quick. Two, ultimately, when it comes down to like the way the class shapes out, I'm a huge fan of Usmani Kroma. But if Georgia doesn't land him, a power back in this day and age is probably the guy that you would say, hey, listen, I need you to cut one of your best 15 prospects in this class. I think you might have to go straight to Kroma. And maybe because of the running back position and where it's at. And I know a lot of folks are, you know, hey, what about Bo Walker? And I like Bo Walker. I watched the 2023 high school football playoffs and watched Bo Walker go ballistic. So I think Bo Walker's a good player. But, you know, I'm sorry to go long here, but the whole, you know, Kroma dynamic, if he doesn't sign with Georgia, I get it, even though I do think it stings and I'm a huge fan of the kid.
Yeah. I mean, if you look around, right? The skill players that Georgia brought in, you'd swap him with you might swap him with just about anyone. I don't know that. Maybe the quarterback, one of the quarterbacks. I don't know. Even still, I don't, like you said, you're not. I'm not trading him for Elias Williams. I'm not trading him for Ethan Barbour. I'm not trading him for any of the wide receivers. Like you said, if you got to pick and choose. Does it sting? Yes. He's a really good player. He's going to be a tremendous player at the next level. I think that, you know, when you turn on the tape, you said it the other day, incredible balance. That's really the hallmark of Usmani Kroma. This guy just takes a licking and keeps on ticking, brother. I mean, just wobbles. It doesn't matter. He keeps it upright and he just keeps going. At any rate, we're just still in this thing, man. And that's all you can ask for. And quite frankly, people have asked what happens if they don't get him. I don't know. I don't know where they go from there. The high school ranks are pretty well picked over right now.
But, I thought you were talking about the future of the program. Like, were they going to keep playing football?
Oh, right. Sure. No, I mean, the high school ranks are pretty well picked over. But this is – we're getting ready to move into what is essentially, for, you know, the lack of a better term, Andrew Paul season, right? I mean, this is Brett Seither season. Like, you, if you're going to do this, you're going to go back, you're going to revisit the films, you're going to revisit the can y'all answer the question, where is the Taylor paperwork? As far as we know, it's done. Georgia has not announced it. That's the last we heard.
Yeah, there's no concern over it.
If that's what people are asking.
Yeah, it takes some time to get the paperwork certified and things like that. But as Roos pointed out with Talon Taylor, Georgia background, Georgia tablecloth, Georgia hat, Georgia jacket, Georgia everything, signed, sealed, delivered, a tweet there, it's official. He has signed with Georgia. It takes him a little while to certify the paperwork. Guys, there's nothing to worry about with Talon Taylor.
Yep.
I do want to answer this question about Justice Terry, though. Listen, I'm not going to mess with you. It's looking pretty good. All right, Georgia's in a good spot here. You can't ask to be in a better spot. Now, you know, I don't know if Georgia's gotten his paperwork or not. I know a lot of these guys send it in early, and then, you know, they gets announced later. But I don't have a whole lot of concern, and that's with Auburn and with Texas and all of those other teams sniffing around. I don't really have a whole lot of concern with Justice Terry, due in large part to it's no different than the way Georgia had to end up recruiting Isaiah Gibson and Elijah Griffin and Zayden Walker, or name it. to Alan Taylor and CJ Wiley. I mean, the same thing. Georgia's got the stomach for this, and you know, they're going to come calling. I mean, that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, and it won't it won't surprise me if you hear buzz over the next 48 hours regarding that, man. I like, there are probably going to be people. It won't surprise me if the Auburn people say, hey, making a last play, right? Or you hear Alabama is going all out for Justice Terry. You've been hearing that throughout this thing, though. All right? And like I said, man, all we can do is give you what we know now. Right now, we got no reason to worry about it, no reason to suggest that you should be either. Can it change? Of course. No question about it. I mean, we're dealing with 17-year-old people here. So, and a lot of money in the world. But as of right now, if you ask me to, you know, bet the mortgage, I'd put it on Georgia to land Justice Terry. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you came up and gave me a couple $100,000, I would put it on Justice Terry to the end up at Georgia, 100%. You know, I mean, I wouldn't bet my own money on it. I mean, I'd,
sure,
these kids scare me to death when it comes to their decisions if it's my own money on the line. But that's neither here nor there. That's another thing that gets to me is, you know, when folks criticize coaches about wanting it, about not doing this, I'm like, man, listen, that kind of is their money on the line.
I am curious, Jake, are you of the mind, given what you're seeing on the roster as it currently stands, knowing the Bo Walker's coming in, that Georgia would maybe go portal shopping for a running back?
I think it just all depends on who they think they might lose the other portal. I think because I feel like if, you know, there's a lot of they're just kind of assuming, there's a lot of assumption that Trevor Etienne is just going to go pro. And I understand that. Like, you know, he's a 3-year running back. He's kind of common. A couple things here. One, Trevor Etienne's been banged up this year, and he got himself suspended for the first game of the year. So I think he's missed, if I'm not mistaken, at least 4 games and maybe 5 or better part of 5. Haven't put up great numbers. Hasn't really been able to get into a rhythm. On top of that, his brother played 4 years at Clemson. So there's clearly a value for an education, value for a university, but he transferred. And, you know, I'm not trying to count that against him, but it's tough to kind of sit there and say his love for Georgia when he's only been here for a year. But I don't necessarily think that's a foregone conclusion that Trevor Etienne is going to end up going pro. So
we got to bring this question up. Any thoughts about Dane Key being a portal target? You guys look much better on radio. Thank you for listener Bill Shanks for submitting that question.
Who's that guy?
One of our other bosses.
I like Dane Key as a portal target. I don't know what his drop rate is. I've been studying PFF stats a lot here lately, Bill. You call me and ask me some questions, I'll give you some answers. Dane Key, I like him a lot. I think he had a really good year this year, and you know, he was kind of a bright spot for that offense at times. But
I wouldn't put him above Kevin Concepcion, though. You know, I mean, like, I'd probably target there first.
I like outside guys more than I like slot guys personally. Like, I think Georgia's kind of set for the slot with guys like Sakovi White, and they can keep maybe try to keep Anthony Evans around, even though I don't necessarily see that happening. But running back, Branson Robinson, another year removed from that knee injury. Roderick Robinson. Listen, if you go to next year and you get 3 tailbacks healthy, you're going to be in the same pissy situation that you're in right now. Because that's what happens when you lose 3 tailbacks with experience. If you go into any room in America and you take 3 of their non-freshman tailbacks out of the room, you're going to have to rely on freshmen, dude. That's just the way it works. And if they go into next season and they get 3 guys hurt again next year, they're probably going to be in a little tougher shape. Maybe not quite as much, especially if they can keep that whole room around. But no question in my mind, if everybody stays intact, you've got bigger needs than running back. Way bigger needs. And I think Usmani had the ability to help Georgia right away, but I wouldn't have said that, oh man, this is a key to 2025.
I wouldn't have given him a leg up though on I wouldn't have given a leg up next year on Roderick Robinson. I wouldn't have given a leg up on Chauncey Bowens. I mean, anybody who's been in the system, it's not necessarily, I don't think he's going to come in and just leapfrog people either. I mean, by the same token, could he contribute? Yeah, sure. I think he'd get a few carries, but his usage might be a little bit more in line with what we expected Nate Frazier's to be early on in the season instead of what it ended up being.
Don't tread on me. Spend Rusty's cash stash. Listen, you got to be strong enough to carry that first. That's heavy. Okay.
Bag's heavy.
Just that bag is heavy. Rusty's cash. I mean, Rusty's money is heavier than most people's money. I'm going to tell you that right now. Trevor Etienne is not ready for the NFL draft. I don't know if I'd say that. I think he'd still be a productive.
I think another year would benefit.
Raise his stock.
Yeah, right. I think and another year would benefit him.
Play like I, Bruce, would you have said, would you have predicted, I don't know if I'd have predicted it anyway, but I don't think Sony Michel gets drafted in the first round of that NFL draft. You're definitely drafted above Nick Chubb. If he doesn't run like he does against Alabama and eventually got hurt in that game, or run like he did against Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl, right, and do all the things he did. So Trevor Etienne still got some story to write of his own here. So that's something to keep an eye on as well.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Mike with an interesting question here. He says, y'all think that this recruiting class is better than last year's class? I think from a, that's tough to say. That's hard.
It's a Kirby Smart class in that it is short on a couple of areas. And I'm not trying to say, I don't know that I can really think of too many classes that I'm like, man, they hit everything. Because most of the time, there are a lot of positions to hit, and you are going to lose some battles. And the ones you lose, you're going to end up, short at those positions sometimes. But, every class, there's one or two positions. I would say in the past, two positions where Georgia has made its hay as far as grabbing the number one or number two class has been defensive back, has been offensive line. Try to sign, those are where Georgia signed multiple top 100 prospects, multiple top 50 prospects, stuff like that. Their biggest classes have been great DB and O-line classes.
Yeah.
Well, this year is a little lighter on those, especially that, that good players, top 200, top 250, four-star, lower four-star players, but not those elite prospects. Well, this year, guess what, fans? You get your wish. Georgia's signing good receivers. When they were signing all these great linemen and stuff, you weren't very happy. So now they're signing these great receivers. So we can't get real too pissed off about the linemen at this point. We've got to get the good receivers. But, I'm kind of halfway joking.
And it was a seven-guy class last year on the offensive line. I mean, and you were looking at a lot of tackles. This year, if you're looking at it right, they went with a lot of interior guys. And, say what you will. Look, there's certainly a huge value to interior guys. Cortez Smith, by all accounts that I'm aware of, is considered by Charles Power, I believe, our director of scouting and rankings, the number one center in the country. But the value of the number one center in the country is not the value of the number one tackle in the country. So there's quite a gap between those two things. And you can kind of cross-train a guy to be a center. You can discover a center. You cannot, in a lot of cases, just go out and get world beaters at offensive tackle. There's a difference between number one OT. So I think that's something that you have to take into account here as well. The numbers last year versus this year. I will say this. I think what's so impressive, Jake, it's been on my mind all day. Number one defensive lineman, number one tight end, number one inside linebacker, number one edge player, very good chance we feel number two defensive line in the nation. I mean, you're talking about the number one player at four different positions. That's incredible that you could pull that off. And hey, look, shout out to Glenn Schumann for his work in the recruiting trail. That's two straight classes with the number one linebacker in the entire freaking country, man.
Yeah, what was going on in that Raylan Wilson class that he wasn't the number one linebacker?
He was for so long, and I don't know what happened there at the end. I thought for a long time that I've been operating almost all of the cycle thinking Georgia's going to go three straight number one linebackers in the nation. Raylan fell right there at the end, man. I don't know what ended up happening. I think it may have been the industry ranking that drug him down a little bit. I think he might have ended up like second or third for on three or something like that. But
and I would like to point out a couple other things too. Todd Robinson. Todd Robinson is the number three athlete in the country.
And Chad was, if you don't listen to Roos and Rowe, we had Chad on the other day. You can listen to the superstations.com. Chad mentioned Todd Robinson was one of those guys. He said, it's just not going to surprise me if this ends up being a guy that we're talking a lot about down the line. Todd Robinson is one of those guys. You think about like your Mecoles and your Richard LeCounts. Todd Robinson's playing quarterback, not because Todd Robinson's a quarterback. It's because Todd Robinson's the best athlete on the Valdosta Wildcats.
Man, and listen, good. We've got to say Todd Robinson's first and last name.
Absolutely. No question. It flows, man. It flows out so well.
Todd Robinson.
Alan Coleman says, which good receivers? Well, you got a five-star coming in Talon Taylor. We have no concerns about him signing, just so we can reiterate that again.
Number five wide out in the country, by the way, number 28 overall player.
And I believe I was looking over his scouting report from Charles Power, said he may be the most technically sound receiver in this class. So, look, if you're looking for a guy that does the things that you're complaining about the receivers doing this year, this is a guy that doesn't do those things, right?
Hey, and if you want Georgia to get bigger at receiver, let me tell you about this man named C.J. Wiley. He's 6'4", 210 pounds, left me and Rusty speechless right here on this very YouTube channel when he chose Florida State back in the summer. And we had no idea that was coming because we thought it was a Georgia-LSU battle. Anyway, Georgia gets him back, number 11 receiver in the country, number 72 overall, and they got three more guys too.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, I mean, you go look, listen, Thomas Blackshear, one of those guys, private school kid, right? Not exactly playing the world beaters of the world. Now, look, I caution people that. Somebody said that the other day. Don't trust these underrated wide receivers. Look, man, I'll tell you who else is playing single-A competition. Elijah Griffin. You happy to have him? Probably so. Yeah. Thomas Blackshear, I'm sorry, is one of those guys that everywhere he was seen this year, our guy Justin Wells from inside Texas had a chance to see him. I know Rusty spoke to the coaches over at Prince Avenue, and Jeremy Johnson did as well. And everybody who saw him this fall raved about him and said, this is a guy who's really tough to stop. He's really hard to game plan around. Landon Roldan is an intriguing prospect, certainly. Put up huge freaking numbers this year and can absolutely roll. And who am I missing? And Tyler Williams, who's kind of just, in my opinion, one of those all-around guys that does a little bit of it all in a good frame. So you've got great options there. And, I think that that's really that's the encouraging thing for you. If you're looking at restocking the wide receiver room, in my opinion, this is the best class since 2019. And I don't think it's particularly close when it comes to the wide receiver room. It's the best class that Georgia signed at wide receiver since the last class James Coley signed as the wide receivers coach of the University of Georgia.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I'm talking about sheer expectations upon arrival. It's deeper star wise. There's more bodies in it, and it's got a 5-star. It kind of checks all the boxes.
Yeah, the only pushback I would give is they signed that 2020 group with Jermaine Burton, Arian Smith, Marcus Roseme, Jack saying all three were top 100 guys. And then Justin Robinson was like a top 200 guy. Now, I know in hindsight, the way that worked out, you know, not great in terms
right.
of.
Right. Well, and then we had, you know, I mean, then there was obviously the class with.
You won a couple titles with two of those guys. The
class that followed, I believe, was AD and Ladd.
Ladd was in that class as well.
So, but my thought, someone said that the other day, hindsight being 2020, right? You didn't feel about Ladd McConkey like you do about Talon Taylor coming.
No, you didn't. But you did feel really good about Jermaine Burton, Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint. Yeah. A little less about Arian Smith, because everybody knew he was kind of raw. I think folks kind of expected Justin Robinson to pan out a little bit better than he did, and he moved on. But there was it's definitely close. I definitely the first 5-star wideout they signed since George Pickens. And listen, that they met some huge needs at edge, at wideout in this class.
The edge class is phenomenal in my
opinion. If they get Justice Terry, I assume they're going to be at the very least third and probably going to finish second in the country in this class. And we predict that they're going to get Justice Terry. So, you know, that's kind of where it's at. And if you're just tuning in and you're catching on to us late, because we just kind of keep growing and growing and growing as the show goes on, there is some drama afoot. Usmani Kroma has not signed his letter of intent. Georgia has had communications with him multiple times after his announcement, but before he went to practice this afternoon, because they're in the state playoffs, and then again after practice. And I'm pretty sure that he was supposed to speak to Georgia again. Not too far away from where when the show was supposed to take place. So there may be movement happening right now. I've got the documents right here.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, it's – look, you thought it was going to be quiet. You thought it was going to be safe. Oh, I guess another guy that we should mention that it does seem like there's something going on out there with is Jalen Morgan, the 4-star safety out of Rockvale up there just outside of Tennessee. Outside of Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Any relation to Lori Morgan?
not that I'm aware of, but we should look further into that. But he is going to, he's set to sign on Friday now. Now, that was not, I don't believe, the original plan. It does sound like Florida is a team that feels like they are kind of in this thing here at the last minute.
Just
some interesting things going on right now in terms of that one. Definitely one to continue to watch.
My favorite quote of the day, somebody tweeted at me or tweeted at Dogs HQ a tweet, and it said, I wish we could finish this class up like Florida's doing. And I just tweeted back at him and I said, what do you think Florida would do if Georgia wanted to trade classes?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I was like you said that about, you know, now listen, Georgia Tech, some credit due.
I've done that twice today with Georgia Tech. Yeah,
Georgia Tech, a fine class, but you said the same thing about them. And I said they'd probably shove Haynes King in front of the MARTA train. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
Apparently, Florida State just announced Chroma.
Is that, well, I don't know. We haven't seen that from our guys. Oh, there it is.
Yep. It's done. No more drama afoot.
It was Monty Chroma. Drama's no longer afoot.
No more drama afoot. All right, guys. Y'all take it easy. Glad we got that cleared up while we were on the air. If we were to come on the air, it wouldn't have gotten cleared up. We'd have been gone into the night. A lot of fun this National Signing Day. Eyes on Justice Terry. I assume we'll probably come live to you guys after the Justice Terry announcement on Friday. But if we don't, we'll definitely be with you first thing tomorrow morning.
Full coverage of it for sure. Jeremy Johnson going to be on site in Manchester for that one. So definitely be tuned in here. We'll do everything we can possibly to have a live stream, I believe, from that if possible. Can't always promise that kind of thing. It's tough within these high school auditoriums. So, look, if we can do it, we will. Either way, we're going to have you covered wire to wire. I can assure you of that.
And Palmer and I'll be with you tomorrow morning to talk about Georgia, Texas, because we've got to dig in on that. That's going to be big news at some point this week too. And we got you tomorrow morning. Take it easy.